For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning tower, a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
A reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden. A reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
From Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. As we take some time to listen in the darkness, I'd like to take some of this meditation time to offer to you the poem that you'll find in your bulletin. It's a collective poem written by the participants in the recent evening of wellness and sharing of concerns that was facilitated by our mental health team. And I would invite you to listen like we have so far in this service, and to notice what speaks to you in this time.
When will the sun appear in the sky? I trust God answers all the questions why. How will new flowers grow in the desert? From my doubts and fears, I become a convert. Faith is that which we cannot see, but we know Christ lives in you and me. We are aware of our pains and concerns inside. Can we help our neighbors' pain subside? Will the pain ever come to an end? Yet, we feel an ever-present sense of hope. Like the rainbow in the sky, bright colors given to us. Amidst our darkness, light appears at Jesus' birth. Light never leaves, though it may seem like darkness surrounds, the flicker of a candle that serenely soothes. In the darkness of this place, the subdued light is comforting. The rainbow is a constant sign of hope. The light also has a cycle: day, night, summer, winter, despair, hope. I believe in God even when the voice of God is silent. Sophie's song for songs that touch. Holy Spirit, touch. Music that moves the soul, brings hope, a flower in every seed.
That poem is an expression of why we are here tonight, to be in the darkness and see what appears to us: light, words, feelings, all in the presence of God. When did darkness become evil? Leonda Lynn Haup asks in her book, Rooted: Life at the Crossroads of Science, Nature, and Spirit. She writes, somehow in our language and in our psyches, we have come to equate good with light and evil with darkness. The symbolism runs deep, she says. We see it in our poetry, our religion, our songs, and our cultural mythology. Those in darkness have seen a great light, the Christian hymn proclaims. In churches everywhere, we wait in hope for the light. In hard times, we remember that the light will return and the sun will rise again. People who create positive societal change are light bearers. In Star Wars, the Jedi see darkness in people, or that a person who has gone to the side of darkness has no light. The entire enemy side, in fact, is called the dark side. We live, political pundits will say to us, in a dark time. I could go on for pages, she writes, but then asks, why do we create the binary? I'm often the first person up in my family in the morning, well before first light. It's often the time I get up to exercise or simply be quiet and still. It also means that I have to move around my house in the darkness. I don't want to wake up the rest of my family. I don't like to use the cell phone flashlight. It seems too bright. So I've tried to memorize where things are in my house so I can start walking and let my eyes adjust, hopefully, along the way before I bump into too many things. I read somewhere that it takes about 20 minutes for our eyes to adjust to darkness. It turns out that there is often more light there than we can first see when we wake up. But we are quick to turn on the light, aren't we? For some good reasons, for sure. But it also means that we may be missing some good news in the darkness. Yet seeing in the dark is an invitation of this season. Seeing into what could be described as the season of death and darkness, when the natural world around us seems to die. The trees and the plants and even the disappearance of many animals and birds, either into hibernation or simply hiding from the cold, can make the earth seem quite lifeless. In the pre-Christian era, the season got its name from the god of darkness, Samhain. Instead of turning on the light tonight, I'd like to ask, how do you view this dark season? Does the darkness overwhelm you? Or do you see opportunities in the darkness that may not be as available in the light? What does this time of year and this long dark day, the shortest day of light of the year, reveal to you? I'm curious about how to embrace what nature is trying to tell us about the rhythms of this season and about God. How do we embrace the darkness, the physical darkness of our lives, the emotional darkness of our lives, the spiritual darkness of our lives? I mean, how do we walk right into this darkness and explore its landscape so that we might discover the gifts that are there? In his book, Celtic Advent, David Cole suggests this practice for darkness. He says, pause for a moment and contemplate the darkness around you. What is darkness? Darkness is not actually a thing, he says. You can't switch it on. And it only exists when there is a lack of light. To dispel darkness, simply increase the light. You can switch the light on because light is a thing, but darkness is not. Darkness is just the absence of a thing, light. What might the physical reality of darkness as nothing mean to you and for the life of our world? What is it trying to reveal to us? Well, the Gospel of John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The point, it seems, is not to turn off all darkness. The point is that light is present in darkness. Nature seems to be telling us that though life may feel dark and empty sometimes, light reveals presence. That's what we need this day and every day, presence. Darkness isn't going away, but there is presence in darkness, and we can embrace it. And if we can find that presence in the darkness, we'll discover the good news of our faith. We are not alone. Amen.